So as we're going to jump into our message today, as you know, I've kind of shifted this time. I'm not doing notes physically for you. We're going to spare some trees, but you can still get them at brendanwitten.com. You can also get them on the church app, and you can also get the notes emailed to your inbox each week if you want to before service. Just email TCC@torontocitychurch.com. Let them know you want to be on a list, and we'll create a list of anyone who wants the notes. So as we're continuing our series Fast Forward, today I'm actually going to be teaching you a message entitled Don't Do It. Someone look at your neighbor and tell them, don't do it. And so I want to talk to you about this. As you know, if you were here last week, if not, I'll try to catch you up very quickly. We're in a season where we are talking about our destiny and our purpose and our calling. We have even set aside this time of prayer and fasting. We really believe God is going to speak to us as a church corporately in this year of 2020 about what is to come. But I really had felt God said, first, I want to start with people's individual lives. And I want to speak to each individual one about what I have for them and what I've called them to and where I am taking them. And so we're in this time going after our destiny, our purpose, our calling. We are called to be people of holy ambition. Someone say holy ambition. Not selfish ambition, not passivity, but a holy ambition where we have a passion to serve his purposes in our generation. And so we're setting aside this time, as the book of Matthew talks about, where we are going to ask, we're going to seek, we're going to knock, and we're going after God. So as I pray today, where does God want us to go? And Lord, what do you want me to share on? I really felt like a very strong connection to what was shared on Friday night. Now, how many of you were here on Friday night for our Friday night gathering? All right, so a bunch of you were. If you weren't, I want to invite you. Come out to the Friday nights during this time of fasting and prayer. They're really powerful times. But my wife shared a really powerful word just about not dragging things into 2020. And so rather than trying to kind of rehash it myself, I thought it'd be better for her just to take part of the message and just reshare it with the church family as a whole. So I'm going to welcome my wife to come real quick, and she's just going to share and encourage in this word for a moment.
Hey, good morning. I'm going to be really quick. I'm just going to give kind of the overview and abbreviation of what I had shared on Friday night. I really feel like this is a year where the Lord, you know, you've come through a decade into a new decade where the Lord wants to draw us unto himself, but actually use us. And I woke up one morning nap, I can't remember what it was, when the Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said this to me, and he said, this is also for the church, is that you drag because you drag. And I went back to the Lord, and I was like, I don't understand. Like, you know, me personally, the Lord speaks to me in riddles and enigmas sometimes, and I'm like, what are you talking about, God? And I have to lean into him to figure it out. And the Lord says, you drag because you drag. And in essence, what the Lord was saying to me was that there are people and myself, there are areas in this that pertain to me personally, that I'm believing the Lord for, and I can see where God wants to journey me into in 2020. But there are things that as the year 2019 has ended, it's almost like someone taking, you know, dragging a pile of laundry, that you're literally pulling in the laundry into 2020. And your momentum, the momentum that the Lord has for you in 2020 is impeded, is hindered because you're dragging. You're dragging. You drag because you're dragging. And the Lord has spoke very clearly to me, and I want to challenge you as well in it, is that there are things that we need to cut off that need to stay in 2019. There are things that you saw, that you did, that you were in the calendar year 2019 that need not cross over into 2020. And the Lord wants to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to enable you to move into something new. Everyone turn to somebody and say, something new. But you've got to identify what those things are. In fact, it is the delight of the Lord that you would gain momentum in this time. I really feel like the Lord would have many of us gain momentum. There's an acceleration in this season of time. There are things that are shifting. There are things that are moving. The nations are raging. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that there is great turmoil on the earth. You know, just this week, you know, you're looking at the crisis in Australia with the wildfires. We're looking at that downed aircraft, the Ukrainian jetliner just outside of Tehran. You're looking at the tension between the United States and Iran. You're looking at many global issues. We're looking at issues within our own borders. But the Bible says that we as the righteous, that we have a light that is buried on the inside of us, and it is Jesus, and he wants you to shine brightly. He does not want you to drag. So the two scriptures that the Lord gave me, and I'm just going to tie this up real quick, here is out of Hebrews 3, 12 in the Passion. It says this, so search your hearts every day. Turn to somebody and say, search your heart. Every day. Not just on Monday. No, tell them that. Not just on Monday. Every day. My brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has evil or unbelief hiding within you. Interesting word, hiding. For it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. This is a time to encourage each other to never be stubborn or hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It's interesting. Sin causes your heart to be hardened and not tender to hear and receive from God. So if you find yourself like, God's not talking, I can't really, you know, I'm trying to move forward, but I can't. There may be hardenedness in your heart. And it goes on to say, for we are mingled with the Messiah if we will continue unshaken in this confidence assurance from the beginning until the end. So it talks about evil and also talks about unbelief. Another verse that came up to me was Luke 11:35 in the New Living. It says this. I love this verse. I love the simplicity of the Bible sometimes. It says this, make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. Very simple. Make sure that the light you think you have, you're walking around feeling all good about yourself, make sure that's not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, if you are filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. We want to be a floodlight. We want to be a light like a floodlight. We literally want to be radiant in this season of time. But we've got to allow the Lord to show us any areas of darkness or hiddenness in our own lives. And we've got to allow the Lord to cut those things off. So I said to the Lord, okay, well, what do you mean? Like, how does it pertain to me? And the Lord was talking to me about analyzing my character. You know, how I respond to my husband, how I love my children, how I handle my job, you know, my character, about my reputation, about my mind. What are the thoughts? The Bible says, think on those things which are lovely, which are pure. What thoughts have been running through your mind in 2019 that need to stop, halt at the door of 2019, right? In your relationships, many of us, you know, have really healthy relationships. But often there are relationships that are not healthy that the Lord's like, that does not need to become, that thing actually, that relationship drags you down. You become a lesser version of the version that God would have you to be because of that relationship. So that needs to end in 2019. Your appetites or your habits, you know, maybe you're someone that gets up late, goes to bed late, gets up late, and is sluggish around your day. And, you know, maybe the word of the Lord to you is go to bed in the same day that you got up in. Straight up. 2020, maybe you just need sleep, right? So there are things that are even in our habits and our eating. Some of you are dragging because you don't fuel your body well. All your exercise is climbing stairs in your stacked townhouse, you know? And you're getting older, and the Lord may be saying to you, actually, I need longevity in you. What I need of you in the earth requires longevity. I need you to fuel your body well. Right? Go see the doctor. You know, keep hitting snooze on that button. Maybe you need to do that. In your time and what you give as priority. So I want to challenge you in that. I feel so strongly the word of the Lord on this because I feel like so many people have great aspirations for 2020. And they're, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to do this. I mean, you don't need to even talk to somebody. You can go on Instagram and see everybody's like, oh, you know, it's like there are all these quotes that they've lifted off of all these random places about, oh, 2020, the year of vision, this, and all these amazing things. But to cut to the chase on that, in order to come into new, you've got to cut out the old. The Bible says nobody puts new wine in old wineskins. In fact, you got to clear house. You got to do some spring cleaning. Some of you live and breathe clutter. And the Lord is saying that he wants to deal with that. And he wants to cut that out. I'm just going to share this one other thing in one other verse. What some of you may be facing that needs to change into 2020 is prayerlessness. Some of you don't pray. Some of you don't really care to pray. Some of you want to pray, but like the Bible says, the things we want to do, we don't do, and the things that we do, we don't want to do. I've been there. You know, you're like, I really do want to spend time with you, but that show on Netflix is calling my name. You know, whatever. I got to make dinner, whatever. But I'm telling you, this is a time to consecrate yourselves. Because behold, we are going into a new season. We're going into a new time. God wants you to hear him. He wants your senses to be literally sharpened so that you can hear with clarity, so that you can be where he needs you to be and not be caught at the wrong place at the wrong time. Some of you, God wants to promote you this year exponentially, but he can't get you to get up and get to your job on time. The Bible says, be faithful in the little so you can be ruler over much. Sometimes we want to jump the faithfulness and go to ruling. But God says he's in the faithfulness. He wants to make you faithful, you know? The last verse I'm going to share with you real quick, and I shared it on Friday night. Actually, before I share that, I'll just say this. One of the things the Lord told me as I was praying in here on Friday night, and I shared it with the people that were here, the Lord said to me, he said, any process that is void of the presence of God in the foundation of it is a house that will fall. So when process of advancement. So you see everyone, oh, these self-help, oh, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do this. And, you know, you put all your goals together and all this stuff. If it is void of the presence of God being the pillar and the foundation of it, it's only a matter of time. So we as believers, you know why? Because we're believers and the enemy wants to come and blow at your house. He's looking for every opportunity to collapse your house, for your house to be like a house of cards, literally, that falls over easily. But when you have Christ at the foundation, when the altar of the Lord is burning at the foundation, then you know how to maneuver the flow of the Holy Spirit, and you know how to be positioned where you need to be positioned. You know where the places of favor are and where the places of the enemy are. So we need him at the foundation. So I'm going to share one last verse with you, and I shared this on Friday. I felt like this was a bit of a word of knowledge. It was out of Psalm 6, verse 7. It says this. It says, David said this. He says, my eyes of faith won't focus anymore, for sorrow fills my heart. Another translation says, grief fills my heart. You can't have eyes of faith that are focused if you have grief, overwhelmingly grief in your heart. Because what happens is you literally disintegrate into a pit of hopelessness. And hopelessness can't birth faith. If you're helpless, you don't know what to do. How many people have been helpless before? You're just like, I don't know what to do. I feel like, you know, the world is da da da. You're just like, I need a lifeline, Jesus. That's an okay place to be in, because God will meet you in that place of weakness. But hopelessness is a design of the enemy to literally keep you in the gutter. And one of the ways that what grief does to many people, and grief happens because of loss and disappointment and all these different things, it clouds our vision. David said, he said, my eyes can't focus. It's almost like you're full of grief and you're weeping and your eyes are blurred and you just cannot see clearly. So one of the things the Lord wants to shift you out of, or that needs to end at the door of 2019, is some of you have been carrying grief for way too long. And that needs to be, God needs to heal that up. So like David, you can have eyes of faith and you can birth faith. Because without faith, it's hard to please God. It's impossible to please God. But you can't even access the things that the Lord has for you and the places he wants you to be in without faith. And you can't have faith without God. And you can't have God if you don't set up time and make room for him. So I just wanted to encourage you in that. It's that statement, once again, you drag because you drag. If you can just think of that. If you remember anything, remember, you drag because you drag. And you don't want to drag. I don't know. Do you want to drag? I don't want to drag this year. I don't want to be sluggish in the things of the Lord. I don't want another year to just roll out and then I come to the end of, you know how everybody does it, come to the end of the year and you're like, oh, here are the things I did not do and do. Okay, but next year's a new year. But the next year, and every year you're anticipating something different, but you've never done different, right? That's another thing the Lord woke me up with one morning. He said, you got to do different. He's like, you can say all the stuff you want to do, but unless you do different, you're not going to see different.
Amen. So I want to jump in with part two of that, and I want to encourage you today in two things that, as I prayed, I felt like I wanted to focus on for two things we need to cut off coming into 2020. And so two areas that I want us to contemplate on, think about today, let the Lord speak to us today about where we need to cut off. The first area is that we need to cut off unrepentant sin. Someone look at your neighbor and say, cut off unrepentant sin. Let's look at Hebrews 12:14. And Hebrews 12:14 says this: strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. I like the Passion Translation says, in every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition and run swiftly towards holiness, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. And so right starting here, guys, it talks about, it says, the Bible says, without holiness, we will not see God. Now, this is talking about seeing God. If we expand that concept out, without holiness, we are not going to see the things of God. We are not going to see the things that God wants for us. We are not going to be able to walk, even in this context of this message, in the destiny and purpose and calling that God has for us without holiness. Now, what does holiness mean? Holiness means to be set apart from sin unto God. That is what holiness means. It means that we are not giving place to sin in our lives, but we are setting ourselves apart to God. Now, I want to focus on this for a moment, this whole concept of unto God, because a lot of times when people talk or preach or teach about holiness, the major emphasis is on not sinning. Or the major emphasis is on getting sin out of your life. That is a part of holiness, but that is actually a fruit of holiness. That is not the main focus of holiness. The main focus of holiness is being set apart to God. The main focus of holiness is pursuing God, seeking God, walking with God. And because of that, though, I am setting myself apart from sin. Why? Because I cannot walk with God and see the things that God wants me to see while there's still sin in my life. In other words, family, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you this morning, even as we talk about destiny, purpose, and calling. Sin is a destiny killer. Sin is a calling killer. Sin is a purpose killer. You cannot have both. You can have sin or you can have your destiny and your purpose and your calling, but you cannot have one foot in one and one foot in the other and expect to walk it out. And what happens is for many believers, especially I've noticed in this day and age, is that we get excited about destiny and purpose and calling. We get excited about what God wants to do, but we are not dealing with sin in our lives, and we're not dealing with making sure this pursuit of God is right at the center of what we're doing. I want to ask you this afternoon, is there unrepentant sin in your life today? You don't have to raise your hand or say amen or anything else right now, but I want you to look at this, because not so much that just, oh, sin is bad and you're a bad person. No, I want to see you in your destiny, your purpose, and your calling. And you can, guys, we can do all this spiritual stuff and we can pray and declare and prophesy and get in services and we can fast and we can do all kinds of things. But if we refuse to deal with areas of sin in our life, all that is never going to come to fruition. We've got to get the sin out. Romans 6:23 says this: for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's so much in this verse, but just that first portion, the wages of sin is death. Guys, sin equals death. Sin equals death in that we're separated from God. Sin equals death in that it ultimately leads us to a place of eternal separation from God. Sin equals death as well, in that it literally, when Adam and Eve sinned, it was what caused death to enter. But sin, guys, brings death. And if we could just make that simple connection, I remember recently, one of the things I'm enjoying this season as my kids are growing up is we're having more and more great conversations, all at random different times, about all kinds of amazing different topics. I'm loving it. They're growing. And so they just start grilling me with questions. And so, you know, yesterday we were talking all about history and the different world wars and this and that. And then, you know, and I love when we get into biblical stuff. And so I remember one of the days, actually, because we were doing some of our Bible reading as part of the fast, Mike and I were driving somewhere. And Micah said to me, we're reading about Adam and Eve, and we read about how God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do it, you're going to die. And Micah's like, God told them that, so why did they go do it? Right? He's like, I don't understand. Like, why, if God told them don't do it, did they go and do it? And so this opened up an amazing window of conversation for us to talk for a little bit about how the devil loves to deceive us, and he comes to deceive us, he comes to lie to us, but he's trying to get us. But sin always equals death. And I just want to encourage you. I want to call to you today. I want to challenge you. If there's areas of unrepented sin in your life, let this be the season that you get it right with God. See, I use this word unrepented sin very specifically because I know that none of us in here are perfect. And we're thankful for forgiveness and we're thankful for the blood of Jesus because we all will sin from time to time. I'm not talking about a sin where I sinned and then I repent or I had a rough day, but then I went to God and repent. I am talking about unrepentant sin where there's areas in our life, there's sin that's going on in our life, and we're either just ignoring it and pretending it doesn't matter, or we're making up some kind of excuse for why it's okay that it's there, or we're living a lukewarm lifestyle where somehow we've gotten into this deception that it's okay for me to serve God but still also live in sin. It's okay for me to come to church on Sunday but go to the club on Saturday night, right? It's okay for me to read my Bible app on my phone at one moment, but then be watching pornography in another moment, and somehow that's okay. It's not okay, guys. But it's not okay because it damages you, it hurts you, it pulls you away from destiny, purpose, and calling. And so if we're going to heed this word and say, I need to cut some things off as I'm coming to 2020, cut the sin off in the name of Jesus. You know, I love the promise in 1 John 1, verse 9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's that simple, guys. But see, here's what happens for most of us with sin is we hide it. We cover it. You know, even with the story that Mike and I were discussing, Adam and Eve went and sinned. God came walking through the garden. What did they do? They ran and hid. And then they'd realized they were naked and they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. See, the natural response to sin is we don't want to confess it to anyone, right? We hide it. But the Bible says if we confess it, right? If we'll come and bring it forward to the Lord. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another that you might be healed. It's not talking about throwing it up for everyone in the entire world on Facebook or Instagram or something, but it's finding spiritually mature people in your life and say, hey, this is what's been going on. This is why I'm believing God to do, because in the name of Jesus, this stops now. I'm going forward in 2020 in holiness. I'm going forward in 2020 in sanctification. I'm going forward in 2020 living all out for Jesus all the time. I'm not going to have the church me and then the work me. I'm not going to have the church me and then the Friday and Saturday night me. I'm going to live all the same way all the time, and it's going to be for Jesus. I'm living for him. I'm going to live in holiness. Someone say live in holiness. You know, it's interesting. Our prayer team came and reported back to me, and as Yasmin came out and said, Pastor, I don't know why this is kind of strange, but during your message in first service, because we have people who pray, she said, we saw this picture of God turning Curity Avenue, which is our church is on, into Purity Avenue. She said, I don't know what that means. I said, I know what that means. Why? Because there's a whole bunch of people in this church family that are going to go on a journey on Purity Avenue in the name of Jesus, right? We're going on the highway of holiness that the scriptures talks about in Isaiah, and that is where God's called us to walk. Right? Your destiny, your purpose, your calling is going to be found on Purity Avenue. So stop selling yourself out. Stop selling your calling short. It is time to get it right in Jesus' name. Amen? It's not worth trading it anymore. And so we're dealing with unrepentant sin. The second thing, though, because I felt like it was two things I wanted to hit on, is the other thing I really want to challenge you, encourage you, call you on today, is dealing with fear in our lives. Because unrepentant sin is a destiny, purpose, and calling killer. I'll tell you this, fear is a destiny, purpose, and calling killer. One of the greatest enemies of you walking in what God has for you is going to be fear. If we could go to Joshua 1, 1 to 9. And just for time's sake, Stephen, if you can actually just move it to verse 9. Basically, you can go look at this afterwards. But it's a whole passage where Joshua has now taken over leading the children of Israel for Moses. And so he has come into a place of leading the children of Israel. And God is speaking to him. And God begins to speak to him. And so the first number of verses, like 1 to 9, is just God speaking to Joshua about where he's taking him. And in verse 9, he kind of sums it up where he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Right? This was the encouragement, the word. Now watch this. Joshua is about to step into his destiny, his purpose, his calling. right? This is what God had called him to do. It was a very important task. Moses had passed away. He was now taking over, and he was going to lead several million people into their promised land. But the stakes were high because they tried to go in the promised land before. Joshua had been there when it happened. But because of sin and disobedience, they ended up going back to the wilderness for 40 years. And so in the middle of this, it's funny because I think sometimes we read these verses and we don't really click on all that it's saying. Here's the problem. Joshua was scared. Joshua was overwhelmed by this task. How do I know that? Because throughout this passage, God says to him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. He wasn't just saying it'd be nice. He was encouraging Joshua's heart. And so Joshua, God's word to him, he said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be frightened or dismayed. And the same way, I want to encourage you. You may not be stepping in today to lead a couple million people into the promised land, but you are stepping in a new way into destiny, purpose, and calling. You are stepping into your promised land because it is significant. The promised land of milk and honey is about the promises that God has made. You are stepping into what God has for you. But here's why I want to encourage you. As you step in, there is going to be an enemy that rises up called fear that is going to try and get you to stop from stepping in. But just as God said to Joshua, I want to say to you today, even if there are times you feel afraid, even if there's times you feel overwhelmed, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, sometimes we feel like we're really spiritual. We got to get to this place where we never feel afraid. But it's interesting, there's a number of quotes flying around, and I went searching because one that stuck in my mind, and I found actually from Nelson Mandela that really carried the heart of it. He said, courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but it's he who conquers that fear. And I want to encourage you, as you are stepping out into what God has for you, fear is going to come to try and stop you from going forward. You don't have to say, God, just take all the fear away. No, fear may be there. You make a decision in the middle of it. I'm going to be strong and courageous. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is what you do when fear comes to try and tell you to stop. And you make a decision. No, I'm going forward. Someone say, I'm going forward. I remember in my personal life, I remember when I first started the youth Bible study that ultimately grew into the church plant when I first started. And I remember there, I'll remember for the rest of my life, it was in my friend's motorcycle shop. It's where we started. I had a little CD player so we could do worship. I got like 15 chairs and put those 15 chairs out. I got it all set up. And I sat down and I felt absolutely terrified. Now, it might seem funny right now, but I felt absolutely terrified. I felt this wall of fear. What am I doing? What if nobody comes? What if this just completely flops? But in the middle of it, I remember making a decision. It doesn't matter how I feel right now. I'm going to do it anyways. And I got up, and we started, and kids started coming and moved forward there. I remember when we moved from being this youth drop center to actually plant the church. And I remember that Saturday night, our first service, we had everything set up. We had a few more chairs now. We were no longer in the bike shop. We were now in the basement of a church. We had the worship team set up, which was really just Rebecca and somebody else. But we had the worship team set up. We did all that. And I remember I went to the back to pray. And I remember I got in there, and I felt, you think, do you feel excited? No, I felt terrified again. And I remember my prayer was, God, what am I doing? Right? Like, what am I doing right now? I'm 22. I can't plant the church. I have no idea what I'm doing. What if nobody comes? I remember I just cut on my knees before God, and I was just like, God, what am I doing? Right? Real strong, faith-filled prayer, right? It's just like, what am I doing? But I remember in my heart, I felt that same wall of fear. But I made the decision and said, you know what? I'm going forward. Doesn't matter how I feel. Feet, get up. Body, get up. We're going in there. God told us to do this. We're going to do it. If I'm shaking all the way through it, it doesn't matter. I'm not stopping. But here's what I found. The minute I got up, the minute I went forward, that wall of fear evaporated. Do you know why? Because it's all about intimidation and smoke screens. Fear is trying to get you to think worst case scenarios, but you got to understand your destiny, purpose, and calling is just on the other side of that wall of fear. And so when you run into that wall of fear when you're stepping out, when you run into that wall of fear when you're moving into things God's called you to, when you're running into that wall of fear and you say, I'm going to believe God, I'm going to start tithing, and I'm going to start giving, and that wall of fear is there saying, well, what if it doesn't work? What if you don't have it? You just got to make a decision. Either fear's my Lord or Jesus is my Lord. And if Jesus is my Lord, it doesn't matter. God didn't say feel strong and courageous. He said be strong and courageous. That is a decision of your will. And so stop looking to what you feel today and just make some decisions in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I am strong and courageous. Come on, somebody say, the greater one lives in me. See, it's interesting. Proverbs 29, 25, and I'm just about done here if Justin wants to come back. Proverbs 29, 25 says this, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. You know, it's interesting. Fear can masquerade as many different things. The Bible talks a lot about the fear of man, which is really just I'm more concerned about what people think about a situation than about what God thinks. Right, so the Holy Spirit impresses on me to share Jesus with someone, but I am scared to because I'm worried what that person thinks. What I'm saying in that moment is what this person thinks is more important than what God thinks. But see, what happens for fear of man or any type of fear is it's a snare or it's a trap. You know, like a snare would be like, you've seen those traps that like, you know, the jaws and this the different sharp points and they open up and then you step on it, it closes on you. But the point of a snare or a trap is to keep you locked in one place. If you let fear run your life, you'll always be stuck. I want to encourage you. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, where am I allowing fear to cause me to stay stuck? Where am I allowing fear to cause me to stay in the same place, to stay around the same mountain? Where am I allowing fear to cause me to stop from moving forward? Isn't it interesting? If you go, even I was talking about Joshua. If we back up 40 years, why didn't they go in the promised land? Because they were afraid. God had said, I'm giving you this land. They went to the giant, and they saw the giants, and they saw the obstacles, and they got afraid, and so they said, we're not going in because fear overwhelmed them. Don't allow fear to stop you this year. Don't allow fear to stop you. It doesn't mean you won't feel afraid, but when you feel afraid, that for you should be a warning light right there. Oh, this is exactly where I need to go. This is exactly what it is. Every time fear tells you to do something, rebel against it. Amen? Tells you don't do that, go and do it. And I'm not talking about like natural things. Like some of you are like, okay, do I need to go skydiving? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things of God. Now, if you need to go skydiving, do it in Jesus' name. But don't say, I told you by the word of the Lord, you needed to go skydiving. You understand what I mean? And so fear can masquerade as many things. It's interesting. Fear can masquerade as wisdom. Right? Well, I just don't know if that's wise right now. No, actually, we're just afraid, but we're covering it up. Right? Fear can masquerade as caution. Well, I think we just need to be cautious. No, if God said to do it, don't hide behind caution when really it's fear. Fear can masquerade as humility. Right? No, I know God's told you to step forward. Well, no, I just want to let somebody else go forward. I don't need to be in the spotlight. I'm just going to be humble. No, that's a cover-up for fear. Make a decision that this year there's going to be no cover-ups for fear in my life. And I want to encourage you, and I want to declare you as we come to a close of this, because I remember God's taking me through seasons, and I want to go through a fresh season in 2020 where I'm saying, Lord, show me every area of my life where I'm bowing my knee to fear, because I want to be fearless, and I want to be faithful in the name of Jesus. Right? I don't want any fear in any area of my life, because the Lord was dealing with me in different seasons. He started to show me all kinds of areas where he's like, Brendan, you're afraid. You know, especially like a guy, I'm like, no, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. God's like, yeah, you're afraid. Right? Let's just get that fear out of there. You trust God in your finances. Get the fear out of there. Trust God in your marriage. Get the fear out of there. Trust God with your kids. Get the fear out of there. Trust God with your future. Get the fear out of there. Every area of your life, make a conscious decision. Lord, when you show me where there's fear, I'm going to make a decision to repent. I'm not going to look for the feeling to go away, but I'm going to go forward in what God has for me. And I want to declare, just as we close, over your life in the name of Jesus, in 2020, you will not bow your knee to fear, but you will go forward in Jesus' name. I declare Isaiah 41, verse 10 over you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I declare 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 over you. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you power and love and a sound mind. I declare 1 John 4:18 over you that there is no fear in love, for his perfect love has cast out all fear. I declare Psalm 34 verse 4 over you. I sought the Lord. He answered me and he delivered me from all of my fears. I declare Romans 8:15 over you that you have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I declare Psalm 27 verse 1 over you. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I declare Psalm 66 verse 3 over you. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And I declare Psalm 23 verse 4 over you, that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil, for he is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. In the name of Jesus, in 2020, you will not bow your knee to fear, but you are going to be one who hears the word of the Lord and you go forward in the name of Jesus. How many people are with me in that? You say, I'm going forward in 2020 in the name of Jesus. And so just as we bring this to a close today, to recap, I want to encourage you. Take time with the Lord, even as we're fasting and praying this week. God, where is there fear in my life? Where is there areas of fear that are holding me back? God, where is there area of unrepentant sin? You know, I actually had skipped over, I got preaching, skipped over Song of Solomon 2:15, which says, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. And this is a very interesting passage, because what it's talking about was, in the Bible, they were in an agricultural society. And in that society, obviously, farming and crops and everything were very, very important. And they would have vineyards. And what would happen, one of the challenges they'd face with the vineyards is there'd be little foxes that would come into the vineyards. And what they would do is they'd come up and they would begin to gnaw at the base of the vines. Now, if you weren't watchful, you wouldn't notice it, because the vine would look good. Everything would look fine. You'd have to get down at the bottom and look and realize, oh, something's been gnawing on this. But the more the fox would gnaw, the more the vine would begin to lose its life source, until he may have gnawed right through. And then you wouldn't even see it right away, but the vine would begin to wither up and die. And see, what happens for me is, there's some of us in here today, guys, and there's some, I'll call it big sin, even though all sin's the same. But you know, there's some bigger things that you're just like, yeah, I know I got to deal with God. But here's my extra challenge. Can we let God speak to us about little foxes as well? Right? Sometimes you'd be guarding the vineyard, keep the fire out. Okay, keep this, you know, big creature out, keep this out, but we let those little foxes run around. Can God talk to us about fear? Can God talk to us about pride? Can God talk to us about heart attitudes that are going on, selfishness? Will we let God speak to us about the little foxes that spoil the vine? Will we let God speak to us about fears, maybe masquerading as other things, masquerading as wisdom, masquerading as caution, masquerading as, well, I just want to let someone else go first. When God told you to go first, you better go first. Can we let God speak to us about these things? And can we say, Lord, I don't want to drag anything into 2020. I want to see everything cut off that needs to be cut off. I want to see everything going forward that needs to go forward. Amen? Let's pause there. We'll just land right there. If you just want to bow your head and close your eyes for a second as we're coming to a close.